for the winner by split decision.
It's time for your number one source for mixed martial arts. Breaking down the week's news and results. The authority for combat sports.
Want to take a chance and risk getting knocked out?
Oh my God! Wow! Wow!
It is all over.
This is the split decision.
Can he get it here, Mike Nichols? And good night, Irene! Oh my God! He's done it!
There you go. We're off and running.
I love that cough.
We are off and running. Welcome in. I am T-Mac.
I'm Turner. This is episode 8, by the way.
Episode 8. 8 weeks. Yeah. Good. Good for us.
I went back and looked just to make sure.
I like that. That is impressive. We're almost double digits.
We're pretty important.
Well, let's just get right into it.
Do it.
We are joined by one of the world's best UFC fighters in the 125-pound division. Do you like that, how I made that really long and drawn out?
Yeah, that was
we are
weird.
Joined by Tim Elliott. Tim, how are you doing, man?
I'm doing good, man. How's it going?
Not too bad. Well, thank you, first off, for taking time to talk to us. And, Turner, I think you already have some questions ready.
Don't thank him.
Yeah?
Well, of
course I'm going to thank him.
Thank him.
There's 10 people that listen.
Yeah, anything going on.
Hey, there's 10 people that listen, so, you know, he didn't have to say yes.
Right. Well, let's just
That's a lot of people.
That's an entire baseball team listening to this show.
At least a Little League basketball team.
Well, let's just get right into the nonsense. You have a fight coming up. Who are you fighting?
Yes.
Where's it at? What are you going to do? Let's get all that out of the way.
Joseph Benavidez, April 26th, Baltimore. I'm going to try to win some money.
There you go. And that's Jones Teixeira, right? That's the main event?
Yep.
Do you think your fight's the people's main event?
No. I think the main event that is actually happening on the card is what everybody wants to see.
It's actually the main event?
Right.
I don't know. What do you want to talk about, Tom?
Well, I just want to, first off, the thing that I always think about when I watch you fight is your style is so unique. How did you come up with that style? Like, was that your style? Are you thinking about fighting so unorthodox, or is that just what comes natural?
Actually, I wasn't always that way. I was pretty AB before I went out and trained with Dominic Cruz, and I stayed there for a month, and he just kicked the shit out of me every day. And the last day I was there, I think I tried to mimic him. I was just goofing around, and it started working really well for me. And I actually had a couple of great rounds with him, and it was pissing him off, and he was getting a little frustrated. I don't think he was getting upset, but, you know, he'd been kicking my ass every day. And I started goofing around one day trying to do a little bit of his style, and it worked. So I kind of stuck with it after that.
That is awesome. So when you're training now, one thing that going back to how you fight, one thing that I always think is interesting on how you train is you don't train like the typical way where it's like, I'm going to hit you and now you hit me. Why do you not do your training that way?
If you train like that, you tend to fight like that. I see it a lot. Guys sparring back and forth, and then they get into a fight, and they take turns going back and forth, and the way I see it is it's always my turn, so I try to never give the guy a turn to go and stay offensive the whole time.
Now, you come from a wrestling background. That's right, right?
Yeah, wrestling.
It's wrestling. You had a pretty good wrestling career from what I hear. You were, a four-time All-American? You won a national championship?
Yeah, four-time collegiate All-American, one-time national champ, two-time All-American in the NCAA Division II, and I won a national title in the NJCAA, which is junior college.
Jesus.
And you won a national title the same year as a guy that is the main event on your card, right?
He might have been either a year before or a year behind me or the same year. We were right around the same age. So
John Jones.
At the time, I didn't know. I didn't have any idea who he was, you know. So.
Well, no one did till I discovered him. Is that true, Anthony? Did I discover him?
John Jones?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a story about that. I actually yelled at Turner one time when John Jones was making his UFC debut, but it's a story we can get into later.
Another time. Another day,
right.
Another dollar. Of course I was right.
We'll save that podcast number 9.
Right, if we get
yeah.
there.
Well, if we make it, yeah. We almost didn't have the podcast number 8 due to technical difficulties.
Oh, my Jesus Christ, yeah. That was
well, insane. I completely forgot about it.
It's all right. It's, I told T-Mac when I got here today, I go, yeah, if Tim doesn't respond to my text till tomorrow, like I wouldn't be surprised.
I woke up and saw that he texted me at 11:48 and it was 12:05.
I love it. Go ahead, Tom.
Well, I was going to say, you know, you weren't from Kansas City, so when you got to Kansas City, what made you pick Grindhouse? Did you already know about Grindhouse when you were in Oklahoma, or how did you discover Grindhouse, basically?
I had been in contact with Scott Cutburris. I mean, I was 0-2-1. I didn't even have a win yet, and Cutburris had already been in my ear a little bit talking about Grindhouse and the guys that they have up there, but I really moved to Kansas City to train at Jason High and LC Davis's gym. And I just cross-trained one day at Grindhouse, and I loved it, so I never went back.
The first time I hung out with Tim was with Anthony and Aaron Eli. We went to the Winterset pool. They went yes. to the pool like in between practices.
And Aaron Eli is like awkwardly shadow boxing in front of soccer moms in the pool.
Well, that was amazing. That was a great day.
Well, what made you like Grindhouse so much? You said you went there one day and you loved it, but what was it that you liked so much?
My style, as you know, it's kind of awkward and funky. And I got there and I trained with Brian Davison a little bit, and he was telling me, you know, hey, if you're going to be moving around so much and you're going to have your head hands down, you also have to add this, and this to your game in order for you to be successful. Whereas the other gym that I trained at here in Kansas City, they were trying to get me to quit moving so much and quit switching my stance and pretty much just stand right in front of them. And I didn't like that, you know. So as soon as I got to Grindhouse and Davison saw my style and tried to help me perfect that style instead of trying to change it, I just knew that that was the place for me.
Your dad told me the other day that you're in fact not athletic, that you're just faking it. Is that true?
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, my athletic ability is, I mean, I'm white, first of all, so.
It's a bad start.
Right. I'm already in the hole a little bit. But, yeah, I mean, I make up for my athletic ability with a lot of extra awkward movements and head movements. And it makes me look faster than what I am, too, because really I'm not very fast. And speed kills in this division, so. I'm good at slowing guys down and either making myself look as fast as them or making them look as slow as me, to where it doesn't look like, you know, there's one athlete out there and one retarded white kid who can barely walk.
Your dad also told me that he can beat you in basketball. Is that true?
That is not true.
You said it. You told me that you'd beat him on hustle alone.
Yeah, that's it. He's too old.
He's just too old to play.
Well, one story we've talked about you already on this show, and the story I want you to share okay, so as we heard it, or as we told it, I guess you could say, is you went to a bar in your hometown, and people thought you were Dave Rickles, and you just went with it. Tell us a little bit about that night and how that went for you.
Yeah, I was hanging out in my hometown, and I think people could just tell that I was a fighter, and nobody knows who I am, and in Wichita and really anywhere except for like the real UFC fans. But somebody, I guess, it got around that I was a fighter, and then I don't know who threw out Caveman Rickles' name, but next thing you know, I have groups of people buying me beers and taking pictures with me and having me sign autographs. So I just started signing. I didn't even know how to spell David Rickles' name, but I would just write Caveman on everything and drink as many beers as I possibly could.
Now, and then you ran into him, right? So, like, you're signing his name.
He was at a bar later on that night, and I told him that I'd gotten probably 7 or 8 beers bought in his honor, I guess.
I love that you didn't correct him. That's the best part.
Yeah, you're like, oh, yeah, caveman.
Yeah, I am Dave Rickles. Thanks for noticing.
That is awesome. Has that happened since? Like, have you went down there again, and then it's happened another time, or is that just the only time it's happened?
That's the only time. I did here in Kansas City have a guy come up and ask me for my autograph, and I said, sure. And then he asked me if I was Dustin Hill, and I don't even know who that is.
Oh, my God. That's the meanest thing anyone's ever done to you. I can promise you that.
Oh, my God. That's insane. That is insane. Oh, man. You got something?
Yeah. We went to, I want to say it was before your Galdanot fight, maybe. I don't know. It's just the whole last year's been a blur to me. But but we went down to what's that place called? Buzzard Beach in Westport. Mm-hmm. I watched him sign. Yes. I watched him sign his UFC contract at Buzzard Beach in Westport. Right. And then we played foosball, which I'd never played before, against these two girls. Yeah. And I think we both spent $10 in quarters on foosball playing these girls, and we literally probably lost. And am I lying? We lost 8 games in a row, and they weren't close.
Yeah, I don't even think we could have paid them what you used to let us win. I was wanting to win bad. I'm not one of those people who lets women beat me at things. So.
and then we played like we stopped playing for a little bit, and we came back to play like 3 games. And then we win the first game. And you would have thought that we had just got a fight of the night. Like we were going to win $50,000 the way we celebrated beating these two girls in foosball. It was probably – and I don't have a lot of high – athletic accomplishments, that's probably up there for me. That was like the best day of my life.
I don't think I'm going to play foosball anymore. I'm retired after that.
That was the and then they beat us 2 games after that in a row, but it didn't matter. Like we had accomplished everything that we could in the sport.
Well, Tim, one thing I think I was there that night.
Yeah, you were.
That was. I definitely remember you guys celebrating. I don't remember much else, but definitely remember the celebration.
We shut the place down.
Yeah, it felt like it. But one thing that I always hear about you, Tim, is your kind of philosophy on fighting. And one thing you and your dad always say is like you can't win a fight off your back, stuff like that. Share with us kind of your philosophies on fighting because they seem very original, at least from my perspective. Correct?
Yeah, well, I mean, it used to be back in the day, the worst thing about wrestlers and fighting was they didn't like to be on their back. Well, now in MMA, the best thing about wrestlers and fighting is they don't want to be on their back. It's hard to win a fight from there, and that's a good place to get punched in the head laying underneath somebody. The only person I can think of that comes to mind that can win a fight off their back here recently is, you know, Pettis threw up that armbar, and those fights are just few and far between. I mean, the game has changed so much that if you're on your back, you're losing. I mean, it's hard to win a fight from there anymore. And there's guys like, and Tito Ortiz kind of changed this. You know, he didn't have to pass your guard to ground and pound you. He just beat you up in the guard. So now guys can do that. And it's just, I think, and that's something Grindhouse is great at. We're good at getting up and causing scrambles. It's just hard to win down there. And I mean, take Daryl, for instance. He's taking a beating down there and then can throw up a triangle. Yeah, I mean, that's awesome, but how many fights can you have like that? I mean, how many fights can your brain take?
Mm-hmm. Well, you always say it's not a kicking and punching contest. It's a fight.
Right.
But it is kind of a kicking and punching contest.
Well, there's a lot of other factors, and if you're just punching and kicking, you're not going to beat me in a fight. Nobody is.
I love that.
That is awesome. So about this fight, you're fighting Joseph Benavidez, and it seems like this is your most high-profile fight. How do you feel about this fight?
I mean, this will be the second time that I've fought the number two guy in the world in the UFC. Really, John Dodson was probably number one at the time. There wasn't a champ, and really, Joseph Benavidez is the number one guy in the world except for the champ. So, you know, I don't know. It makes me feel good that they're giving me these fights. Either they think I'm very capable of winning or they're trying to get me fired. So, you know, I don't know which one it is, but either way, it's nice to get these fights. The downside is you don't get paid, or I don't get paid anymore to fight, you know, high level opponents. John Dodson, his last 2 or 3 fights, he fought guys who, you know, it was their first fight into the UFC. When he fought me, it was my first fight into the UFC, and I haven't fought anybody who has been under the top 10 in the world. So, you know, I don't know. Either they like me and they want me to beat good guys, or they're trying to get my ass out of there as fast as they can. I'm not sure.
Who do you think gets the next title shot after? Because Mighty Mouse has a fight scheduled.
Yeah, with
Bobby Stump.
Yeah, Tim Fadham. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
I think that's silly. You know, I think they should have at least had him have an eliminator fight with John Dodson, who John Dodson would just blow right through him. Yeah. And I think it's, I mean, Bobby Chinoff, I thought he backed up a lot in my fight. And then when I watched him fight Lineker, it looked to me like he just ran from Lineker. Lineker hit him with a liver shot and he just backed up the whole time and scored takedowns.
We're going to switch gears completely because I just thought of a story that I wanted you to tell. Talk about when you fought when you fought Jared Papazian and what happened before weigh-ins in the sauna.
Oh man, he was talking a little shit in the sauna. That wasn't even the worst part. The worst part is we're about to walk out to weigh-ins. You know, you have to line up. You have to stand right next to the guy you're fighting. We're walking. Every other fighter that's fighting on the card is standing in a line. Papazian is standing right behind me, resting his chin on my shoulder, whispering in my ear, "You little bitch, you pussy, you little faggot." And there's nothing I can do. I mean, all these other people are standing around me, and this guy is just whispering horrible things in my ear. And I'm just looking around, and my coach, like, what do I do?
What did you just laugh? Did you just stand there?
I mean, I tried to stay away from him as much as possible, but they make you stand in a line. And he was high risk, though. They had to have security guards following him around the whole time. So he was. I think he just does it to get in guys' heads, and man, it really worked. I not only did I not want to fight him, I didn't want to be anywhere around the guy. He made me super uncomfortable.
My favorite part of that fight is at the very end, the bell of the third round. You get up and go, "That was easy." The best part of it. And you can hear, there's a video on YouTube of the whole fight that I think Zach Hubbard did, and you can hear it so clear. You just like push up off of him and go, "That was easy."
Yeah, I wasn't expecting that.
That was amazing.
Was that your easiest fight? I mean, since you said it, was that your easiest fight in the UFC?
Probably Gatto was the easiest one. He wasn't near as big or strong as Papazian, and Papazian hit like a truck. And you know, afterwards, he was a really nice, respectful guy. He likes to get in his opponent's heads, and man, that shit works. I mean, I didn't want to fight him.
Now, is that the fight? One thing that I like about your style is that you're kind of, you'll do whatever you're told, but is that the same fight you did the double kick, where you did like a drop kick? Is that the fight where you drop kicked him?
Yeah.
Was that the one you did that?
Yes. And, yes, that was a good enough fight.
And what made you do a drop kick? I got to know, because I've never seen that ever in a fight.
Well, Davison has this thing with, and he never called it the double kick, so I don't know why he said it during the fight. But you low kick with your right side, and then in the air, you throw a high kick to the head. Well, when he said double kick, it didn't register in my head that that's what he was talking about. So I threw both legs at the same time, which the kick was okay. It was when I hit the ground, I landed right on my head, neck, and shoulders.
So can we expect another drop kick, or is that the one time you're only going to do it?
If I could figure out how to land softly, I would maybe try doing it again. But yeah, it's you don't really think about it when you watch like WWE stuff, them guys hitting the ground, but it's not really all that soft.
No, it's not.
Oh my God. One thing also that I like about your fight is you do the, well, at least I don't know if you're known for it, but it caught my attention is the cartwheel kick. Where did you come up with that? And can we expect that in your arsenal of attack?
Well, my first fight in the UFC, that was John Dodson. We had a set game plan. We were going to go out, try to take him down and try to work from the top. Well, Dana White comes in and all the coaches have to leave. It's just the fighters. He does this before every fight. And he gives this speech, and, you know, he cusses a lot. But he gives this speech, and he talks about going out and giving it all you have. And, you know, his is a lot more inspirational than this, obviously. But, you know, and then he starts talking about the fight of the night. And at that time, it was 70 grand. It wasn't 50 grand set. The bigger the card, the bigger the fight of the night bonus. So as soon as I heard $70,000, my game plan went out the window. I never once threw a spin kick or a side kick in a fight or a cartwheel, and I just threw everything I could possibly think of trying to get that 70 grand.
You got robbed on that.
Yeah, I thought I deserved it, but, you know, what really pissed me off was they gave it to the other flyweights, and one of them didn't even make weight.
Yeah, that's true. Then they had one good round. In the first round.
And
was
it was
crazy.
A finish.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it was a finish.
I read an interview that you did not too long ago, and you said something that I really liked. You said that you could bring in 100 guys to mimic Mighty Mouse's style, but he couldn't bring in one guy to mimic your style. Is that true?
You know, I don't think I could find 100 guys that are as fast as him and as good an athlete as him. But, yeah, as far as the things that he does in a fight, it's the same thing that 90% of fighters do. It's pretty AB. He's not doing anything off the wall or anything out of the ordinary. So it's easy to train for guys like him. But on the other hand, rarely do you see guys who are jumping around with lots of head movement. And it's just, it would be hard for him to bring in any guys who can mimic that style, you know, unless he got Dominic Cruz or someone like that. And
right. I got two more questions, and then we're going to wrap this up and let you get back to whatever it is that you're doing. First question.
Sleeping.
Sleeping. How many cars are in your driveway right now?
Just a driveway or garages and driveway? I have a 3-car garage and a driveway.
All the above. Garages and driveway.
I have 2 motorcycles, a Lincoln Continental, a Jeep, a Dodge Durango, a Honda CRV, and a FedEx truck.
Yes. I love it. And last question. How do you see your fight? I hate this question, but I got to ask it. How do you see your fight going on the 26th?
Man, I would like to say that I get a finish, but probably a unanimous decision for me.
I like that. I really like
that. I'm trying to get finishes. I was a finisher before I got in the UFC, and all my fights in the UFC have gone the distance, so I have like an hour of octagon time. I'd like to knock that shit off and get a first-round finish, but, you know, with Joe B, it's going to be hard. I think it's going to be a long, grinding battle, and, you know, I always tend to lose the first round, so I'm going to try to come out extra hard in the first round and go from there.
And is your, real quick before we let you go, is your fight going to be on the pay-per-view portion, or are you on the, or do you even know?
I believe that it's on the pay-per-view, but I'm not positive.
All right, well, hopefully we can order the pay-per-view and see you on there. That'd be great. Well,
now, hopefully it's free so you cheap asses don't have to pay for it.
Yes, yes, please.
Well, there's ways on the internet you can watch pay-per-views for free. But, yeah, I know what you're saying. So, well, hey, man, thanks for taking the time. We really appreciate it. We'll let you get back to doing what you're doing.
Sleeping.
And we will talk with you soon, man.
Hey, thanks, guys. It was a lot of fun.
All right.
See you, man.
All right, there we go. Tim Elliott, one of the world's best fighters. That's insane that we just talked to one of the world's best fighters, and you were friends with him.
Well, yeah. I mean, I'm friends with everybody.
That's true.
But I'm friends with the who's who of this sport. But every time we do, like, have a guest on,
mm-hmm.
like, as soon as, like, we hang up the phone or, they leave the studio, I'm just like, God, there's so many more things that, like, I just want to have everyone on for, like, 3 hours.
Yeah, the thing that sucks about that is, you know, they want to do other
busy.
Things.
Yeah, they got shit going on.
Yeah,
explain what he's done for the gym. Oh yeah, and then yeah, he's.
I don't know. I was gonna want to ask him like, how do you feel? Because you know, everyone credits Tim for kind of changing the philosophy on Grindhouse and all that. But I don't know if he really wants to talk about that. You know what I mean?
We do.
How great are you? Well, I'm pretty fucking great.
I think, and Anthony would probably agree, I think that...
Oh, and...
By the way, we have Anthony.
Yeah, we have Anthony Gutierrez who has joined us.
I think we're going to call him a contributor.
Contributor.
He's
you are contributor. The contributor to
you're not an everyday,
Split Decision.
You're not an everyday guy. You're your contributor.
You're a contributor.
I'm like a supervisor type guy, making sure everything's running.
No.
I wish you were here earlier, because we couldn't get anything to run. Fun side story about why we keep talking about that. We got in here, and we tried to record as quick as possible, and obviously Tim, we're like, hey, here's a set time. Can you do it? And he said, sure.
And we only missed it by 30 minutes.
We missed it by 30 minutes because of our wonderful 1990s equipment that we have in here. Couldn't get anything to work, so luckily Tim was cool enough to wait for us, but
Once we get into the episode 2025,
right.
We'll be able to afford the,
And if you'd like to help us get there, you can contribute by either sending us cash, we'll set up a PayPal account, and you can send us money.
Checks, money order, MoneyGram.
Anything you'd like, that would definitely help out. But
how about starting with some emails? That'd be a really
good start. We really want those emails because we got really excited when Tonga was on and he had, what, 4 emails?
In like 10 seconds.
Jesus, that
was
great.
Just by posting it on his fan page.
He's amazing.
We're 8 episodes in.
We've
dedicated 8 weeks of our lives to this.
Yeah.
And you can't get an email.
And I'm dedicating, we're recording this on a Sunday. This is WrestleMania Sunday. I'm setting aside time to do this show for you guys on WrestleMania.
Yeah,
that's pretty special. You guys should feel pretty special.
Tim just put up a status on Facebook that said, well, there goes that podcast. Sorry, T-Mac and Turner. Better look for a day job.
At least he's honest.
Yeah, I love it. He wasn't a fan.
No, I mean.
Let's go back to talking about him and the gym.
Yeah.
It is important, and I think that Anthony would agree that I think personally that Tim has changed the dynamic of the gym. I think he brought such an integral part of the style and the teachings that are currently going on at Grindhouse right now. I don't think that any of that would have been possible without him. And just not – I mean, obviously – there's guys that have been around forever, and you know, James Krause, those guys are doing an amazing job with the gym, but he brought just a different style and just a different attitude. And it's, the gym is mean is the word that I would use. Mm-hmm. Like it is every round in the gym. It's hard. It's uncomfortable. It's violent. And I think that's something that, you know, that it was kind of an attitude change for everybody when he got there, because he truly, like, nothing nice is kind of how people, like, he always says nothing nice, you know, nothing you do should be nice to your training partners or whoever in a fight. And that's kind of the mentality that all those guys have adapted, you know, of late in the last year or two. And it's, I think it's changed the gym for the better significantly.
And what I like about him, and obviously I've never trained in there because I'm fat and lazy and I don't like to move, but, is, he says these things that seem like outlandish, kind of like, oh, that doesn't make sense. But then you listen to him and you're like, well, fuck, that does make sense. Like what he was saying with how he trains, you know, he doesn't do the, okay, I hit you one, two, and now you hit me. Because in a fight, that's not what you do. It's like you said, it's always his turn. And when he said that, well, I was talking to him one time at the gym, and he said that and didn't, like I was like, wow. And I was like, why does no one else think that way? You know what I mean? Like he's so original with his thoughts, but they all make sense. And so
he talked about that interview that he said Mighty Mouse can't bring people into mimic him. He went on, the quote was longer, and he said, I'm not the best athlete in the world. I'm not the best fighter in the world. But he said, if you let me linger around in the third round, he goes, I'm going to beat you. And like, and it, that's just so timid. Like anybody who knows him or has watched his fights, like he's just such a, it's like the typical blue collar story, like good wrestler, hard nosed fighter, you know, not a Demetrius, you know, a Mighty Mouse athlete, style, but he's just so good. Like he's just good. He finds ways to win fights, and his style is just so hard to match, and it's hard for people to, you know, I mean, he made John Dodson look uncomfortable for 15 minutes.
Oh, yeah.
Minutes. Uncomfortable.
And I thought he won that fight.
Oh, I did too. He made him look like it just like he did not want to be in there.
Right. Because he's so original with his fighting style.
Oh, absolutely.
The reason I asked him about the double kick is because it's just, who would ever attempt a fucking drop kick in a fight?
Tim Elliott.
I know. That's what's so great about it.
He doesn't care. I mean, yeah. he has... His mindset and the way he approaches fights and the game in general is just so much different. Mm-hmm. You know, and I think I use James Krause as an example, who was obviously a ridiculous fighter prior to Tim getting to the gym. But I think Krause would agree that Tim has helped his game out so much, and just like being original and being different. Mm-hmm. Like Krause throws like kicks from angles and punches from angles that are just like,
doesn't make sense.
That doesn't even, that's not a thing. I tell him all the time, especially with the Krause's jiu-jitsu. I'm like, that's not a thing.
And now it is.
You know, like, that's not a real move.
Right. But it is now.
But it is.
But that's why I was going to say, Tim is one of my favorite fighters to watch, even if I didn't know him. Even if he was, you know, training in Wisconsin or whatever. He would still be one of my favorite fighters to watch, because I don't know what I'm going to get, but I know I'm going to get something entertaining. Yeah. You know, I would say, maybe, you know, the most boring fight he's had was that Bogatinov fight. And even that
where he was chasing him. He was literally chasing him.
And even that was really exciting. Yeah. You know what I mean? So, yeah, he's just amazing to watch. And I just like listening to him when he has his
He's one of the funniest guys.
He has a FedEx truck. Is that what he said?
FedEx truck. You've never seen a FedEx truck?
I mean, I have, but he has one.
Yeah, went out and bought it after his last fight.
Why not?
No reason.
No reason.
I want to get his dad on here. His dad's been amazing for the gym. He comes to every practice. He's at every event. He's a coach. I mean, I don't know how to describe him. He's a life coach. He's a motivational guy to have in the gym. Where you don't want, like, if you slack for 1 second, like John Elliott's gonna see, and he's gonna call you out on it, and he's gonna scream and yell and make a scene.
And what I really liked is when we had Tonga on, and he mentioned how he needs John Elliott at his fights more so than even like his parents.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Because John's dad's important.
He doesn't want to disappoint John.
Right.
And in the gym, you can especially with Tonga, and he would admit it too. When John's in the gym, Tonga elevates his, you know, ferocity and,
right.
you know,
he has to.
And then when he's not there, it's like almost kind of like, oh, okay, like
a day off.
Yeah. Like
a substitute teacher's.
Right. Like
something.
If I get taken down, I'm not going to have to hear about it for the next 10 days, right. you know? And he's, yeah, I think John and Tim have been so, so great for the gym and I think they make everybody better. I don't know how. I don't know what it is.
Just their attitude.
I think you ask anybody who's trained in that gym for a long time, mm-hmm. Tim and John made the gym better.
Right. Definitely. Well, let's transition into some other MMA news. And
do we have to?
I mean, we don't have to. It's a conversation. Yeah. I think the big news of the week is Gina Carano. Did you hear what she had to say? She
was on. I Google her name all the time.
Yeah, so do I for other reasons than news, but.
It is a sauna in here. Yeah, I am sweating.
You are?
Oh, my.
Take your coat off. Jesus.
I got headphones on.
It's okay.
Jesus.
I mean, we can still talk and you can take your coat off. Look at this. God. You did break a sweat.
Jesus.
I mean, come on. Yes.
Well, I'm out of shape.
Yeah. You know, there's that. But Gina Carano, she said on Arsenio Hall.
Ooh, she was on the Arsenio Hall show?
Which I didn't even know. I thought that wasn't
a thing.
I
thought that show got canceled.
I thought that was in the 90s.
Wait
no?
till you. God.
Okay.
So you do an Entourage reference, but you're such a noob, it wouldn't even have processed.
I am a noob, but I'm in season 3 of Entourage.
Jesus, you moving. I love it.
Yeah.
It's addicting.
Yeah, it is. It is addicting, but I'm not sold on it still.
Wow.
Yeah.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah, let's get into some. Hold on. We'll get back into Gina, but let's get into some Entourage.
Fuck Gina. Let's talk about Entourage. Are you kidding me?
This is why I don't like Entourage as much.
Really?
This is why. Vinny Chase, everything happens to him. It seems like a 90s
sitcom.
It's a
story about him, his life.
But it's always great.
Okay. Let me back up. Power outage. I've heard this argument before. Here's the thing about Entourage. You can't get caught up in the douchebaggery that they make, like Vince, like he's kind of a douche in the show.
Mm-hmm.
And like, I think that's so important because what celebrities aren't.
Right.
You know, like you always hear about celebrities doing douchebag things. So they portray him correctly.
No. And I don't mind the character. This is what I don't like. It almost feels like a 90s sitcom where in 30 minutes, it's all fine. For example, the episode where Aquaman debuted, right?
Yeah.
There's a power outage. Oh, my God. What happens to the numbers? The last scene. We're the number one movie in America. What the fuck, man?
Well, they have 30 minutes to
go to number three because of the hour.
They have 30 minutes to cover, you know, 12
right.
weeks of his life. I mean,
I know, but come on. It's Jesus.
Wait. That show, season 5, when you get to season 5, and if you don't like it after season 5, then
that's
I'll accept your opinion.
And here's the thing. I've said this to Sharkbait. It's the coolest show I've watched.
Yeah.
Like, I watch them. I'm like, God damn it. I want to do what they're doing.
Yeah.
Now, it's not a great show, though. I'm coming off of Breaking Bad. Breaking Bad, episode for episode, just murders Entourage.
Entourage is my pound for pound number one.
Oh, Breaking Bad.
It's different. I mean, it's like saying, like, I don't think football is a fun sport. I like cricket.
Yeah, I get what
you're
saying.
I mean, it's a different deal.
I will say the Entourage is the coolest show.
Yeah.
It's like, God, they're at, you know, these 5-star restaurants, movie premieres. I'm like, I want to do that stuff. Like, it makes me want to be a movie star.
Well, it's supposed to be loosely based off of Mark Wahlberg's early career in Hollywood.
Who's it? So Mark, is he Vinny?
He's Vinny.
Okay.
And, like, the guys, Turtle and Johnny mm-hmm. Drama and those guys, those are actually guys who... They're portraying guys that were in Marky Mark's Entourage. Marky Mark and the Funky Bunch when he just got into Hollywood.
Gotcha. Well, that makes sense.
So he does a bunch of cameos. He's always on the show.
Yeah, I saw him.
He's executive producer.
Yeah, I knew that he was executive producer and all that fun stuff. So I knew it. I just didn't know it was based on him.
We got he just fell into the door.
He fell into the door. He's shadow boxing. It's pretty awesome.
I love that we just got off on an Entourage tangent.
Well, it's a conversation.
People are going to really like that.
You want to go full circle? So I saw Gina Carano's scene in the Entourage movie. Look at that.
Rhonda has one too.
No.
Yeah.
Rhonda. That's what I meant to say. I said Gina Carano because I'm just thinking of Gina because I love her. Rhonda.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know that because it doesn't seem that way because the scene I saw, she did the Chuck Liddell, I'm mad, I hit the car. But then she's like, hey, Vinny.
Yeah.
Which, again, what the fuck, man?
You know, it's a TV show.
I know.
You know, you're one of those guys that takes everything at face value.
Hey, I don't like happy things. I hate life. So I want other people to hate their life. You know what I mean?
I think you're the most positively negative person that I've ever met.
Yes.
If that makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, you could be super positive, but you're like 90% negative.
Well, I just think life sucks. But, you know.
Does it?
For me. But you guys, I hope everything happens well. Like, I hope you guys.
I mean, my life's not great.
I think it is. So it's great. You're making a lot of money. You're on this amazing podcast.
Did I tell you those things?
It just feels like you do.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So anyhow, let's get back to some MMA talk.
Let's actually talk more about me. I'm just kidding.
Okay. Gina Carano said that she's meeting with Dana White this week, and she's going to make the decision to either fight or retire. And my question to you, what do you think happens?
She fights, probably.
Do you think they create a 145-pound division for her? Because I don't think she can get to 135.
For her?
I mean, basically, because she can, I don't think she can make 135. There isn't a 145
Didn't
division.
Didn't they just add a strawweight division?
Yeah, 115. She definitely can't make 115.
Right, that was just a random thought.
Right. Anthony's making random one-liners. But do you think they make the 145-pound division for her?
And then, maybe. I mean, maybe that's the plan. Maybe they're starting to develop the bigger gals, as I like to call them.
Right.
I don't know. Maybe. I think she fights. I mean, it's a win for everybody. They'll give her an offer that she can't refuse because she's a big draw.
But do you guys even like that fight? I almost find it offensive that a girl who didn't even have that much of a success in MMA. Now she had success, yeah, obviously, but not Ronda Rousey's success.
I hate it. I think it's a stupid fight. Yeah. I don't want to watch it.
The Gina Ronda?
Yeah, I mean,
I don't think she would fight her right off the bat. She hasn't fought in 4 years. I think they would have her fight Sarah DeLeo or whatever.
But they can't have her fight Sarah DeLeo because then when Sarah DeLeo beats her, then there's no Ronda-Gina fight. They're doing this for money pure. If Gina and Ronda fight, it could be the biggest thing that ever hit the UFC. They're both hot. They're both, you know, skilled.
Hell yeah.
So they can't have her go fight Sarah Kaufman because Sarah Kaufman will beat her.
Some people think Sarah Kaufman's hot.
I don't think that Gina would lose. I think Gina's good.
To Ronda?
No. I'm saying to the Sarah DeLeos, the Sarah Kaufmans. Yeah, no, I think Ronda kills her.
Ronda,
that's a
savage beating.
I think people forget how good Gina was. Like, Gina was legit good.
Well,
she mounted Cyborg twice in a fight.
Gina was good. I talk about this all the time. Gina was good before the sport evolved.
Exactly. Gina was getting whooped by Tonya Evinger, if that says anything.
Yes. Friend of the show.
No, she's not.
Okay.
Give your opinion.
I don't like Tonya Evinger at all.
Really?
God, I hate her. Ugh, she's never allowed on the show. That's a lie. If she's going to fight Gina and we'll come on the show, I'll let her. But
I don't know her at all, actually. I've talked to her maybe a handful of times. But
have I ever told you my Tonya Evinger story?
I think so.
Where
Titan?
Yeah. Yeah. We were so nervous that she wouldn't fight that I had to meet her at the Independence Center. And she signed her contract on my back. She's like, turn around. And she started signing the contract on my back. And
were you flexing?
I mean, a little, you know. Yeah, kind of impress the ladies a little bit. But
she likes ladies.
Yeah, you know, but still, anytime.
Yeah.
Anytime, you got to impress the ladies. But I had to have her sign the contract on my back and then take it to Joe Kelly. And then she wanted to pull out of the fight. After she signed, she said, I don't want to do it. I go, the contract's literally still in my hand.
Right.
I don't want to do it. Well, what the hell? I want more money. No, you idiot. And then she's fighting Sarah McMahon. Mm-hmm. And Sarah gets to Kansas City the day of the weigh-in. So she weighs in. And then she needs the information on, like, where am I staying as far as hotel, where's the fight, all that kind of stuff. And so I'm telling her this information. And Tonya goes, T-Mac, why don't you suck her dick? Like, fuck you.
That's great.
Well, I'm doing my fucking job and this dyke is trying to fucking talk shit. Fuck her.
Jesus.
Well, whatever.
Shots fired.
Yeah. So I don't like her.
Well, I like it. I like that you don't like her.
Actually, though, then the last time I saw her was at Invicta and she's like, hey, T-Mac.
She's really nice.
Yeah, she was really nice. So maybe she's forgot about that. I hold grudges, so.
Well, yeah. That's
anyhow.
True.
Did you like how we got into a Tonya Evinger story?
I did. This is what I wanted the podcast
to
be like.
Yes.
I love that this is just how it's going.
Right. We don't have good flow this week, but it sounds
good. It's okay.
Good.
Yeah. I mean, you know.
A lot of awkward pauses and like looks at each other like, are you going to talk? Am I going to talk?
After last week, I thought like our chemistry was getting, I thought we were doing really well.
I thought last week's show was amazing.
I did too. I liked it.
This show, but last week's was good.
Yeah.
We had rants.
Rants was great.
Yeah.
Even though last week was our lowest number of views that we've ever had.
Because we didn't really promote it, and it took a while to get out.
We need to get a website. We need to get on Stitcher. We need to start, we need to start fumble fucking around and taking this seriously.
Yeah. Stitcher we need, but we need to get a site first.
Aside from being rich, this is all I got.
Right. Aside from being rich and having an amazing life.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is all I got.
Aside from being rich and having beautiful eyes, this is all I got. This is it. Thanks. Thank you.
Oh my god! What do you want to talk about now?
I don't know.
You want to talk about Bellator's?
I want to talk about how fucking hot it is in here.
You think it's hot? I'm fat and I feel okay.
Oh, dude, I'm dying.
I feel good. Are you hot?
Now that I'm walking around, I'm good.
Right. Yeah, just walk around a little bit.
I'll just air my shit out.
Right.
Anyway, Bellator's. Yeah.
Bellator. What do you think about the? Here's the thing. They're trying to market their champions by putting them up against former UFC fighters. That fight, I feel like, is a lose-lose for Bellator, because if the UFC fighter beats their prospect, right, well, fuck him. The guy was never good. Look at Czech, in this case, Czech Congo beat him, right? But then if he beats Czech Congo, well, fuck him. He wasn't even good enough to stay in the UFC. He sucks. He's on his way out. So what do you feel about like those type of matchups when they're trying to build their guy but using a right, UFC guy,
well,
UFC branded guy?
It's kind of what we talked about last week with World Series of Fighting. They're trying to build a roster, and the quickest way to get, in my opinion, to get the views that they're looking for is to bring in guys with names who people know.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, Czech Congo, Rampage Jackson, those guys. But the problem with that is, just like I said last week at the World Series of Fighting, you got to pay those guys.
Mm-hmm.
You got to pay Rampage Jackson.
Right.
You know, and he's probably very expensive. And I think that they're trying to establish legitimacy for their champions, and having their champion beat a UFC vet, you know, a Czech Congo, Rampage Jackson, whoever it may be, might in a way establish legitimacy to their organization, their champions, their weight classes, their divisions, you know, all of that. And I think that's what they're trying to do. I mean, when you're Bellator is still just a couple steps above a good regional show.
Right.
And they're getting there, and they've done a lot better. And I've talked about how I dislike the tournament format before, but they're still growing. They're still figuring it out.
And I don't like the tournament thing either, because it makes their champions wait. It feels like a year to fight.
Yeah.
Like,
oh, yeah.
And then if you have a good
fight, you almost don't want to be the champion.
Right. And then if you were the champion and then you lose, then you got to go back into this tournament, which – what if it was a great, like the Michael Chandler, Eddie Alvarez thing? They went to an instant rematch, which right, I think is great.
Then everyone else has to wait.
Yeah, and then now everyone else has to. It's so, I just don't like it. I don't like the, you know, oh, well, I won the tournament, but there was a rematch, so I got to wait longer.
I dig the tournament format as a way to figure out the inaugural champion.
Right.
So then it's like, okay, now we got the champion at 45. Mm-hmm. Let's just do, like,
fights.
Let's be normal.
Right.
You know,
yeah.
Like, that's the champion, find a number mm-hmm. one contender, so on and so forth, like yep. everyone else does. But to do just run the tournament back with the same guys and the same guys and the mm-hmm. same guys, it's like,
yeah, I don't
the
know.
The
first
how many, two seasons, I was hype on it. I was like, right. oh, this is so amazing. And then like now, I'm just like, all right, well,
like if I see Pitbull again in another tournament, yeah. it's like, fuck, how many times has he done this? And I think it would. I like
that
the tournament.
Boy good.
Yeah, he is very good. But I like that it in the good. Sense of bring it back and then let it go away. Make me miss the tournament mm-hmm. and then bring it back one season, because mm-hmm. they kind of do seasons. They don't do like year round, and then bring it, you know, then take it away. You know what I mean? Like, be normal and then don't. And then Anthony's doing football right now, so that's a little weird. Threw me off. But what was I going to say? Oh, I read an article today.
In the New York Times?
Uh-huh. I don't know what it was, but I think it might have been New York Times.
It was an entourage.
Okay.
Sorry, guys.
Yeah, I'm not there yet. It said the casual fan, who we like to always talk about.
Yes.
The casual fan doesn't see a difference between Bellator and UFC. They think it's all the same.
Hmm.
Do you agree?
No.
Anthony agrees. Why don't you agree?
Do I agree that the casual fan think?
Yeah.
Oh, maybe. I mean, yeah, probably.
How do you make yourself different? Because we kind of already shit on the whole tournament format. So,
well, you know. At that point, differentiation at that point is going to be hard to do, because you're talking about someone who doesn't care
right.
about MMA mm-hmm. on any other level than if it's on, you know, if it's on TV, they might watch a fight, or if they're somewhere, right. you know, at a bar or something, they might watch a fight. I mean, at that point, you know, I guess it would be very hard to differentiate yourself, because you don't have anything to gauge what the casual fan would prefer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's no way to tell, like, if I was the casual fan, if Bellator and UFC are going head to head, which one would they choose?
Because
mm-hmm. Because it just happens, if it's on, they're going to watch it.
Right.
And I think that the most important part for Bellator moving forward is to, if I was Bellator, I would model my company off of everything that the UFC does. I wouldn't even look at it as the work we're competing with them. I would look at it as, this is an MMA show that hardcore fans will for sure watch. Mm-hmm. You know, I think they're doing too many shows. I think it's getting watered down. I don't, you know, like
they're every like Friday 130. It feels like. And my thing with them, as far as for Bellator, their marketing sucks. I think because their first show of the new season, man, there's commercials,
right.
You know, there's press, and it's like, all right, cool, they're back. But then after that first week, they just all run together. I don't even know who's fighting next week.
Nope. Yeah, it's,
and so it just, I don't know. I don't like the marketing of it. It just seems like it's all blended together. And okay, wait a minute, I'm gonna wait for Michael Chandler, Eddie Alvarez. I want to see that fight.
Right.
But everything else just kind of runs together. So that's
they,
where
they still got a long ways to go. I mean, they have a long, long, long ways to go. And just, I think, developing a roster that, if they do X number of cards a year, they're all in. That's where the UFC is at right now.
Mm-hmm.
Or even the free fight nights, you know, that are on Fox Sports 1 or whatever. The main event is Tim Kennedy versus, you know, Rafael Nadal. And you're like, you know, like, yeah, I want to watch that. You know, like, mm-hmm. I'll watch that fight on a Wednesday night. Or, you know, when Bellator is going to struggle with that until they build their roster.
Right.
Until they start turning, and that's what they're doing. They're turning prospects into household names.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a great avenue for guys who come on Bellator who you might not know who Alexis Vila was, you know, 2 years ago. And now, you know, he throws hammers. So, mm-hmm. I don't know. It's fucking Bellator, man.
Yeah. I just wish they would do a better job at promoting their show. You know, it just feels like, well, we ran commercials this week on Spike, so aren't you going to watch? No, do some interviews on ESPN, you know?
Yeah, and I think
some interviews on Fox. Well, you can't do it on Fox Sports 1, but do some interviews in the paper. It's just,
well, I think they did. I think the reason they're working with Spike TV is because Viacom has super deep pockets.
Oh, of course.
But I think that was a double-edged sword for them because, yes, they get, you know, financial backing from a company that hates the UFC with a passion.
Hates them.
But also, you know, it's almost like I couldn't tell you the last time I watched Spike TV that wasn't for a Bellator event. Mm-hmm. Like the channel is I don't know anything else that's on Spike TV.
Impact Wrestling. Come on.
Like I said, I don't know anything that's on Spike TV besides Bellator.
I watch it for the TNA wrestling because I am a fan of the pro wrestling. But yeah, it feels like those two things are the only things they show. That and then like reruns of Cops.
Yeah, and I'll occasionally be scrolling through and watch an episode of Cops. But other than that, it's like I don't know, I guess it doesn't really matter because they have an unlimited source of capital now from.
But with
Viacom.
That said, then they should be doing, as far as for Bellator, do some creative, cool shit. Viacom's owns MTV, VH1,
but
Comedy Central.
I thought Spike sucked when the UFC was on Spike TV.
Right.
I never the promos on Fox Sports 1 now, mm-hmm. I think are amazing.
Yeah, because like movie companies are doing it. Yeah.
It's incredible, and mm-hmm. I don't remember ever. Seeing like a fight promo on Spike and being like, oh, now the ones on Fox Sports 1 are just incredible. They're never the same. Mm-hmm. They're original.
Yeah.
They're, you know, they get me excited for the fights.
Right. But what I was saying about Bellator is do some eye-catching things. Have a fight night be on MTV. Just throw, the company owns fucking both channels. So one paper, or not pay-per-view, but one show a year, do it on MTV because why not, you know?
I think one positive thing that Bellator has going for them with Spike TV is how many times, you know, when the UFC was with Spike TV, which was, how many years was that? Almost like a decade.
Quite a while.
It was channel 38 at my mom's house. And so how many times when you get off work or you're getting home from school, whenever it was, you just run and turn it on 38. Just immediately. UFC Unleashed.
Yeah.
Or a live fight. So now we're talking about the casual fan. That's what Bellator has going for them. People might still be running to channel 38 to see MMA, mm-hmm. not knowing the difference. But, yeah.
Right. When the UFC Unleashed first started coming out towards the end of the UFC's like run on Spike, that was the prime for them, where it was almost like a 24/7 like fight feed, where like you could almost like clockwork turn on Spike TV and there would be a UFC Unleashed on, or
yeah, the guide would have like 9 episodes
in a row. Yeah, and that was like at the end when it was like, you know,
well,
Spike
and Fox
was
Sports 1 is trying to do that now, because actually when we were having our technical difficulties and I had to run everywhere to find this equipment that still sucks, one of the TVs had Fox Sports 1 on, and they were showing the Henderson Shogun fight.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, you can turn on TV. But what I'm saying is, and I think that's great. You know, okay, you can always expect Bellator to be on, for in his example, Channel 38. Amazing. But wouldn't it be cool, too, if it was on MTV once, or they had a fighter do something on Comedy Central with The Daily Show? Well, it's like, you have other avenues. Promote.
Here's an interesting dynamic for Bellator, is I have a friend that I hang out with. His name's Kurt. Okay. And he...
Does he listen?
No.
No. Great. No, thanks,
Kurt. He's not really a friend, but he wasn't into MMA at all. I mean, he comes over for the pay-per-views and stuff when my dad orders him and stuff in his basement and all that. But we watched the Michael Chandler Alvarez fight. The
amazing fight.
Yeah. And he started getting really into Bellator. And now he, you know, every Friday he'll text me and go, "Hey, did you see the, you know, the King Mo fight, or did you, you know?" And I don't know why it's so, I think that because the UFC, kind of like what Anthony just said, how, you know, you always know there's going to be Bellator on Spike TV, but the UFC at this point doesn't have, you know, a UFC Unleashed. They're trying to with Fox Sports 1, but they currently don't right now.
Right.
He knows every Friday when he comes home, if he has nothing going on, there's nothing on TV, he can turn it to 38
right.
or whatever it is, and Bellator will be on. And so now he almost knows the Bellator roster and the fighters way better than he does any of the other guys, because what they do, and you've watched a million of Bellators, they'll talk about, if King Mo's not on the card, or Rampage isn't on the card, or Eddie Alvarez is on the card, they'll talk about Eddie Alvarez the whole, you know, the whole time. They'll talk about King Mo the whole time. So now he knows these guys. And the only guys he knows from the UFC are, you know, the who's who, the champions, or the, you know, the guys that he's watched fight, I guess. Mm-hmm. He doesn't know anybody outside of that, because he's never watched a fight night or, you know, whatever it is. So I think that's kind of interesting, and probably has something to do with the consistency that they're on Spike TV. And Friday nights is I used to think Friday nights was bad, but it's kind of not.
Well, here's the thing that works for him, is I still think it is a kind of bad, because – you know, I want to go out on a Friday night. I don't want to watch TV.
You like to party.
I try to like to party. But the great thing for them is DVR. So you could DVR that Bellator and then watch it Saturday morning when you're hungover. Or, you know what I mean? Eating lunch or whatever. Yeah. And so DVR really helps them out as far as doing it on a Friday night, because then you can get, if you're in Kansas City, you can get the Kansas City crowd to go to your event and you're getting ticket sales. But then you're going to get the TV because of DVR. So, you know, you could get the guy in – I keep bringing up Wisconsin for some reason. But
you really like Wisconsin.
Yes, I do. I just want some cheese maybe. But, you know, you can get those people to go out to their local Power and Light or whatever, but they're DVRing your event.
Right.
You know what I mean? So DVR really helps out them. I mean, it helps out all television, but it helps them out for doing a show on a Friday night. The only thing is I don't get as excited. You know, like I'm like, well, yeah, I'll catch it later, you know, so –
I agree. That's probably fair.
What fights do we have coming up that are getting you
excited? KCFA. I'm actually really excited about KCFA.
I'm excited to see the new setup. Layout. Yeah.
I think there's a couple really, really good fights on KCFA I'm really, really, really excited for the I don't even know how to say his name, the Jamie Lafayette, whatever your fucking name is. he's fighting Chuka Willis.
Chuka.
That's a great fight. Yes. I like that fight. And then I think Andy Riley has a title fight against
Demetrius
Wilson. Is that that boy's name?
Yeah. And he's a training partner of Chuka Willis. I always see those guys at victory shows and
they go everywhere together.
Yeah, they do.
I think both those fights are awesome. I think we just talked to Tim Elliott. His girlfriend has a fight on the pro portion of the card that she's been training super hard for. So I'm really excited for that fight. And
Yazan Haji is fighting.
Yaz is fighting
O'Neal or O'Deal.
O'Deal. I think.
Yeah, I think O'Neal. It is O'Deal.
Yeah. There's a lot of good fights. There's a lot of guys a lot of grindhouse guys who have been training hard for their fights. So it's going to be fun, and Joe Wooster, best matchmaker in the business besides Joe Silva, and he always puts on a good card. So
he always puts on a good card.
He does.
Like, I always kind of brand each promoter with like their thing, like
what they're good at.
Yeah, like Ryan Stoddard is amazing at getting sponsors and making his events feel big, right? Like it's like, wow, this is a cool event.
Right.
Joe Wooster is the absolute best at making fights. It seems like, you know, even if it's a guy I've never heard of versus a guy I've seen fight once and I'm not really excited about it, for some reason, when Joe Wooster makes that fight, those two guys like go after it, and it's like one of those memorable fights I remember for like for the rest of my life, right, kind of thing. And he's just amazing at that. I don't even know how he does it. Like it doesn't. There's no science to it. You know what I mean? It's not like, okay, I'm putting striker versus wrestler. It's like,
well, he's been around the game, and especially in the Midwest, he knows everybody. I mean, he knows.
Yeah.
He's a manager. He's a matchmaker. He's everything. You know, a promoter. He's all of it. So he knows all the guys, and you know, he's got a great eye for MMA, I guess.
Yeah, he really does.
Knows what fights are going to be good and what, because sometimes fights on paper look great and they don't translate over into.
And that's the thing. Yeah, like Ryan Stoddard, he can make a like what seems to be a really good fight, but then for some reason for him, it just doesn't translate.
Yeah, it's hard. I mean, it's a really hard job. I mean, you could on paper have two guys who, you know, two insane strikers, it's going to be incredible, and then they, you know, they get in there and it's a fight, and you know, they end up on the ground, or you know, they do another facet of the game. It's just part of it. You can't always assume that two strikers are going to go in there and bang it out for 15 minutes.
And I actually made that mistake. I did one show. I promoted one show. It was MMA Rivals, I called it. And my main event was Kelvin Tiller versus Darian Blakeney. And Darian Blakeney had just came off of like five consecutive knockouts. One was a head kick.
Right.
And then Tiller, we all know Tiller's just insane on the feet.
Yeah.
And so I said to anyone, till I was blue in the face, this is going to be the greatest stand-up fight you're ever going to see in Kansas City. You know, hyping it up. And I believed it. I thought it was going to be a really good stand-up fight. Bell rings. I'm excited.
Yeah.
Bell rings. Tiller literally doesn't even throw a punch. Double leg, rear naked choke. The fight's 50 seconds. There wasn't one punch thrown. Oh, I was so pissed off.
That's how it goes. I mean, that's how it goes. Like, you know, we talked to Ripley the other day about how, you know, his fight was 25 seconds long, and does he wish he, you know, Anthony, we talked to him the same thing, and does he wish that he got to fight more, you know? And it's like, you know, at the end of the day, you know, I'm sure that trained for that long, I'm sure you wish that there was a little bit of adversity, but I always say it, like your goal was to go in and win the fight,
right?
And it doesn't matter if you can do it in 20 seconds or 15 minutes, like you accomplished your goal.
And that's what Tiller said to me. I was like, dude, what the fuck? I was like, I was a little upset, honestly, and I was like, hey, and he's like, man, he was a good stand-up fighter, and I just wanted to work on my wrestling and see how it did. I'm like,
yeah,
I can, right, well,
it's
makes
like
sense.
Just with Anthony and Ripley, it's like, yeah, you found a submission and you took it. Like, what are you gonna not?
Yeah, don't take it. No, go to the second round.
Let go of that guillotine.
Yeah.
You know, like.
All right. Well, beer sales aren't up yet, so let's just get this to the third round.
Right. Yeah. And people are just like, okay, yeah.
Right.
Yeah, sounds good. Yeah.
Yeah. Any other fights you're excited for?
Are
you excited for the UFC fights? Any of those?
Yeah. I mean, Tim's fight card is obviously getting me excited. But
and when is that? I've already
26th. April 26th.
April. Mm-hmm. Okay. Good.
Three Saturdays from now.
The next Titan card, April 25th, I believe. Josh Bernal is making a comeback against David Burrow, who knocked out Aaron Darrow. I'm looking forward to that one.
I'm looking forward to that fight. I'm also really looking forward to the William Joplin, Wale Watson.
Mm-hmm. Joplin is
I like that fight.
I'm so excited to see Joplin
like
fight in person. I haven't seen him fight
Here's the thing.
The Matt Dukes fight, I think it was.
Here's the thing. Here's the thing, and here's why I'm excited for it.
Let me hear it.
Joplin's on an 8-7 fight win streak. We talked about it last week, I think.
Mm-hmm.
He's at the point where he's like, I said it last week. This guy's a veteran.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think he had 40 amateur fights and like against the who's who of Midwest MMA. Mm-hmm. He's fought everybody. He's at the point now where he's not getting any younger. I think he's 35. Like he's
ancient.
He's
no,
yeah.
Kidding.
In the sport he is. In the sport he is ancient.
I know.
And he's got some miles on him. You know, he's got you know, he's on the local scene. He's got a Shogun Dan Henderson.
Right.
You know, he's got those miles on him.
Mm-hmm.
This fight is going to end up being. And it, man, here's the thing. This guy's good. I mean, I think Watson's really good.
Mm-hmm.
And it might he might not be the best guy on paper that Joplin's fought, because he's fought
everybody.
I mean, he's fought, mm-hmm. you know, insert who anybody you know in the Midwest that's from 55 to 35, he's probably fought him. But he's at the point where it's like, why not?
Mm-hmm.
Why not take this fight? You know? And I just think that nothing but good things can come out of it.
Mm-hmm. I think
if,
it's, yeah.
If it doesn't go his way, you stepped up and you fought a great guy on national TV, a great promotion, mm-hmm. great show. Go back to the drawing board, figure it out. If he wins, the biggest win of his career. He's right. won 9 in a row. Mm-hmm. He's got confidence. I mean, I love it.
Yeah.
I think it's great.
It's a no-lose situation for him. 100%. For sure.
So, and he's taking it on short notice. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, I think Jeff Kern got hurt is what happened. And, I mean, go do your thing, man.
It's going to be exciting. That card's
great.
Yeah, that card does look to be pretty pretty decent.
Do we have any updates on Vinny Magalesh?
As far as I know, it was just staff, and now he's just recovering.
He's still on?
No, he's out.
Oh, okay. I didn't hear that.
Yeah. He dropped out of the card. Yeah, and a Bellator fighter,
Bellator fighter.
I think it's Rafael Davis.
Rafael. Yeah.
He's fighting Jason Brills. Rafael. All right.
Rafael Dos Anjos.
So Vinny's out, has the staff. I think. And did you see his Twitter beef with the World Series of Fighting guy?
I did.
God, man.
And here's what I don't understand.
I think he lost that, too. I think the World Series of Fighting guy.
That guy put him on blast, but he said you wanted $3,000 more than what the UFC was paying you. To me, I mean, I don't know what he was making in the UFC. I don't know if he was at the level of.
Said like 22 and 22.
22 and 22. That's a lot of money. That's fair. I mean, I use Tim Elliott or, you know, someone like that as an example. You know, if Tim got cut and went to the World Series of Fighting, he should get paid more money than the UFC was paying him. Now, once you get to a certain level, you know, when you start, you're 20, 20 22 and 22, 25 and 25, I mean, that's, you know, that's a lot of money for a regional show. But, you know, a guy, if a guy has two fights in the UFC, you know, he's probably making, you know, $8,000 tops mm-hmm. for that fight. He should get paid. You know, he should get paid more money when he goes to the regional promotion. That's kind of the
why
angle.
Do you feel that way? I would say no. Actually, I don't agree with that.
Really?
Yeah. Because
why do I think that?
Yeah.
I think that it brings when you bring in a big name guy like that, mm-hmm. it benefits the promotion significantly more than it benefits the fighter. Yeah. So Tim, if I keep using Tim, and
he's
you know, probably the best flyweight in the world. So you don't see him going anywhere anytime soon. But if he went to World Series of Fighting, or he went to Titan, insert whatever card that you want or company that you want, he is doing more for Titan or World Series of Fighting than they're doing for him.
Yeah, but then you also the reason I don't agree with that is if you lost 3 in a row, which typically that's when you get cut, is if you lose 2 to 3 in a row. You shouldn't get paid more. You know, I'm making these numbers up. I made 20 and 20 my last fight. I lost. That was the third consecutive loss in a row. And now I go to World Series of Fighting and I make 25 and 25. No,
well,
I lost.
But I think what a lot of people don't understand is the guys who've had 3 fights in the UFC aren't making 20.
Right.
And 20.
Yeah. And I was just using that.
So let's say a guy's had 3 fights in the UFC. He loses all 3 of them and gets cut.
Right.
He probably made 4 and 4, maybe 6 and 6, maybe 8 and 8. I'm saying he should be able to go to World Series of Fighting and get 12 flat or get 15 flat.
Okay.
Which is that's more money because it's a flat fee instead of if I win, then I get.
And I see T-Mac, your point too. But one thing is like, and this might not even work well for Tim's situation, but I feel like Tim might not do that much for the UFC. They can go on. You know what I mean? Like he's not really doing much for them. If he goes to World Series of Fighting, he's actually doing something for them. Like, so that could be why I could see Turner's point on he should get more money because he's actually doing something for the promotion. But at your point too, you just lost 3 in a row. Why would you make more money?
Yeah. So. Well, I think that, you know, and I don't know why we keep using Tim.
Because he was a guest on the show and we just talked to him.
You know, Tim's a guy who, if he gets cut tomorrow, he's going to be the World Series of Fighting probably 35 pounds. I don't know if they have a 25 pound champ. I don't really keep up with World Series of Fighting
because they suck.
Because T-Mac hates him.
I hate World Series of Fighting. God, they're the worst.
Yeah, I mean, he's a guy that's going to walk in and be the champion.
Be the face.
And you got to, you know.
I would say in that case, then I would do more incentive things. Okay, hey, you're going to be our face and you're going to make less money because you lost. But here's the incentive to do the interview with the New York Times. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah, but
you get paid to do that stuff that you're bringing to our promotion, but you shouldn't make more money for your specific fight, I don't think. But that,
That's fair. But at the same time, I mean, you know, do you pay a guy like Josh Berkman or, you know, John Fitch, guys who are, you know, John Fitch is as big of a UFC veteran as far as number of fights that you can find, and he's a household name on the you know, in the world, and people hear his name, even if you're not a hardcore fan, you know who he is.
Of them.
Do you pay a guy like John Fitch, who maybe, you know, who might not ever crack the top three in that division? I mean, that's a deep, well, that's the best, that's World Series of Fighting's best division.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he might not crack the top three. I mean, he's been on a skid. Do you pay him more money because he's a name, or do you pay a guy like Tim Elliott who can come in and be the champion tomorrow?
Yeah. I mean, that's a question that really the promotion has to ask themselves. But as far as for me, I would pay more because
To John Fitch?
Yeah, to John Fitch than a Tim Elliott because of the, I can put him on a poster
and people know who,
and
he, is.
People know who he is.
That's fair.
So
yeah,
that's why I would do that.
But, I'd probably agree with that.
And I wanted to bring this up too for the casual fan that listens.
Certainly.
When we say like 22 and 22, what we mean is you're getting 22,000 to show up and fight. And if you win, then you get another 22,000 in a win bonus. So for the people that don't know that kind of pay structure, that's what we're talking about.
And I can't reiterate it enough. You know, that there's a big misconception that if you're in the UFC, you're making a lot, you're making 20 grand a fight or 40 grand a fight. And that's just simply not true.
No.
I mean, there's such a big curve in pay. You know, the top guys are making insane money and the bottom guys are making nothing at all.
Yeah.
You know, barely enough to survive. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of them have part-time second jobs at gyms or do, you know, some of them have regular day jobs and training.
Bobby Volker.
Like regular day job. You know? So I think that's a big misconception, you know, that if you're in the UFC, like, you know, you're rich or you're, you know. And
I'm
just
making it because now I'm in the number one promotion. Right. It's just not the case yet. Hopefully it is. Hopefully eventually we can get to a point where, you know, they are. But I think, you know, the UFC is trying to acquire so much talent and use all this talent. They can't pay everyone.
They got like 600 guys.
Yeah, you can't pay everyone
on contract.
The 20 and 20, you know, contracts. But what they do is they take care of them. You know, we've both know some UFC fighters around Christmas time. They get gifts. They get nice gifts, things like that. So it's not like the UFC is like making them, you know, starve as far as they don't care about them. It's just you got to work your way to get the John Jones money.
The UFC is at a competitive advantage where they're the NFL, and you're going to give up a little bit of money at the beginning to get the exposure.
Right.
To become, you know, and it is an incentive because the top, you know, 10% of the UFC is getting paid,
right?
Like other professional,
yeah.
You know, they're not making baseball money, but they're getting paid like professional athletes should get paid,
right? Exactly,
in my opinion,
yeah. And we were talking about this about, you know, pay structure and kind of when you leave the UFC. Well, what made me think about Melvin Gillard, he actually said, he's like, I'm glad they cut me because now I can make more money.
He
kind of
he never broke 25 grand for a fight, and he had 20 fights in the UFC.
Yeah.
So
Jesus.
That's a good, there was a point in time where he was, you know, he hit a really, really bad string of losses that led to him getting cut, but he was on, you know, he was a contender. He was a top five guy.
When you were talking about the UFC Unleashed, I can remember they always showed his knockout in the intro.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? He was one of their faces. Now, he also, maybe the reason he didn't get that money is because, you know,
he had some
personal issues.
Off the field problems.
Right. Well, sometimes he would bring him on the field or in the cage.
Yeah, you know, you got to bring
Kenny
him in the cage,
Florian
you know.
Fight when
he was
high as a kite. That was the Joe Stevenson fight when he was
tested
just
positive for cocaine.
Yeah, God, he just didn't even.
Well, he was wearing those cocaine black shorts.
Right, cocaine black, of course. Anthony went there, guys. That's not us.
hoping the mic didn't pick that up.
Yeah, he doesn't reflect our views. Well, maybe a little bit. I'm kidding. Well, this was a good one. Do you want to wrap up?
Yeah, this is our worst podcast ever.
I mean, it wasn't good. So.
We hit an 8 week roadblock.
We plateaued. Exactly.
We've hit our plateau.
But thanks to Tim Elliott, one of the best fighters.
I want to have him in studio after his fight and just have him tell more stories because I didn't feel like we dug too deep into the Tim Elliott saga.
He just woke up too.
He did. Yeah, he woke up at noon.
Right. Of course, like you do. So. Yeah. All right, guys. Well, thank you so
much
for...
Send
us some emails. Send us some tweets, too.
Send us some tweets.
At KC Split Decision. So, thanks again for listening, and we will catch you next week.
See ya.